ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमाश्लोके भक्तेर भवति नैष्टकी।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मास प्रियस्ट लॉर्ड कृष्ण।
अस्य अपि देवा वपुषः मदनुग्रहस्य स्वेच्छामयस्य न तु भूतमयस्य का अपि न इषे महि तु अवसितो मनसा अंतरेण साक्षात् तव एव किमुत आत्मा सुख अनुभूते। अस्यापि देव वपुषो मद अनुग्रहस्य स्वेच्छामयस्य न तु भूतमयस्य कोऽपि नेशे महि त्ववसितं मनसान्तरेण साक्षात् तवैव किम् उतात्मसुखानुभूतेः। अस्यापि देव वपुषो मद अनुग्रहस्य स्वेच्छामयस्य न तु भूतमयस्य कोऽपि नेशे महि त्ववसितं मनसान्तरेण साक्षात् तवैव किं मुतात्मसुखानुभूतेः। अस्यापि देव वपुषो मदनुग्रहस्य स्वेच्छामयस्य न तु भूतमयस्य कोऽपि नेशे महि त्ववसितं मनसान्तरेण साक्षात् तवैव किं मुतात्मसुखानुभूतेः। अस्यापि देव वपुषो मदनुग्रहस्य स्वेच्छामयस्य न तु भूतमयस्य कोऽपि नेशे महित्वसितं मनसांतरेण साक्षात् वैव किं मुतात्मसुखानुभूते।
माताजी
नस्यापि देव वपुषो मदनुग्रहस्य स्वेच्छामयस्य न तु भूतमयस्य कोऽपि निशेमहि त्वमसितं मनसांतरेण साक्षात् वैव किं मुतात्मसुखानुभूते। अस्य ऑफ दिस अपि इवन देव ओ लॉर्ड वपुषः द बॉडी मदनुग्रहस्य विच हैज शोन मर्सी टू मी स्वइच्छामयस्य विच अपियर्स इन रेस्पॉन्स टू द डिजायर्स ऑफ योर प्योर डिवोटीज न नॉट तो ऑन द अदर हैंड भूतमयस्य अ प्रोडक्ट ऑफ मैटर क ब्रह्मा अपि इवन न इशे आई एम नॉट एबल मही द पोटेंसी टू इंडीड अवसितम टू एस्टिमेट मनसा विथ माई माइंड अंतरेण विच इज कंट्रोल्ड एंड विड्रॉन साक्षात डायरेक्टली तव योर एवा इंडीड किम होता व्हाट टू स्पीक आत्मा विद इन योर सेल्फ सुख ऑफ हैप्पीनेस अनुभूते ऑफ योर एक्सपीरियंस। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति विदान स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन माय डियर लॉर्ड Neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? Purport. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Volume 1, Chapter 14, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the present verse, Lord Brahma expressed the following prayerful sentiment. Quote, Your appearance as a coward boy is for the benefit of the devotees, and although I have committed offenses at your lotus feet by stealing away your cows, boys and calves, I can understand that you are now showing me your mercy. That is your transcendental quality. You are very affectionate towards your devotees. Yet, in spite of your affection for me, I cannot estimate the potency of your bodily activities. It is to be understood that when I, Lord Brahma, the Supreme Person of this universe, cannot estimate the childhood body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what to speak of others? And if I cannot estimate the spiritual potency of your childlike body, then, what can I understand about your transcendental pastimes? Therefore, as it is said in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who can understand a little of the transcendental pastimes, appearance and disappearance of the Lord immediately becomes eligible to enter the kingdom of God after quitting the material body. This statement is confirmed in the Vedas and is stated simply that by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the chain of repeated birth and death. I therefore recommend that people should not try to understand you by their speculative knowledge. Unquote. When Brahma disrespected the supreme status of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna first bewildered him by exhibiting the Lord's own transcendental power. Then, having humbled his devotee, Brahma, Krishna gave him his personal audience. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna's transcendental body can also function through the agency of his plenary expansions called Vishnu Tattva. As stated by Brahma himself in the Brahma Samhita 5.32, Angani Yasya Sakalendra Vrittimanti. This verse indicates not only that the Lord can perform any bodily function with any of his limbs, but also he can see through the eyes of his Vishnu expansions, or indeed through the eyes of any living entity, and similarly that he can hear through the ears of any Vishnu or Jiva expansions. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that although the Lord can perform any function with any of his senses, in his transcendental pastimes as Sri Krishna, he generally sees with his eyes, touches with the hands, hears with his ears, and so on. Thus he behaves like the most beautiful and charming young coward boy. The Vedic knowledge expands from Lord Brahma, who is described in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam as Adi Kavi, the primeval Vedic scholar. Yet Brahma could not understand the transcendental body of Lord Krishna because it is beyond the reach of ordinary Vedic knowledge. Among all the transcendental forms of the Lord, the two-armed form of Govinda, Krishna, is original and supreme. Thus, Lord Govinda's pastime of stealing butter, drinking the gopis' breast milk, tending the cows, playing his flute, and playing childhood sports are extraordinary even in comparison with the activity of the Lord's Vishnu expansions. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So here we see Lord Brahma is started offering prayers to Krishna after being humiliated, and further on we'll be seeing how Brahma, in different from prayers, is glorifying the supremacy of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. This particular verse, especially here, Srila Prabhupada, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions of different aspects. And translation here, Brahmaji especially mentions one aspect, that though he is being humbled, he considers this to be a mercy of the Lord, mercy of Lord Krishna. If you see, we are all dependent on the mercy of Krishna and his devotees at every stage of our life. By the Maya Shakti, we are all condemned to be here suffering in this material world, the threefold miseries upon us, and continuously wanting a cycle of birth and death. That's how Maya keeps us in illusion. There is no hope for us. The only hope is that if some other mercy is there on us by the Lord, then there is some hope. Right? We are all looking for that grace. As His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in his Mayapur Yatra, he was mentioning that we all want, I have come here for obtaining the grace of the Lord. But at the same time, he was mentioning that how we can obtain that grace. In the second day of his class, he was mentioning that we may memorize so many scriptures, we may probably eat one food grain a day, probably we may sleep only for 5 minutes a day, maybe we may construct temples, we may maybe feed a millions a day, maybe chant a billion rounds, or probably we may have mesmerizing kirtans, but all that will not get the grace. And then later on he mentions that how only when we are very sincere, serious, and very eager to serve the Lord and his devotees through him, then, and without any ulterior motives, he says, then Srimati Radharani, who is the source of the grace, will be eager to give that grace to us. So very nice point, you know, how we have to be crying out for the grace. He was saying that how bhakti is not about, you know, just doing some work and offering the fruits. It's for, bhakti is crying for that grace. The odds are against us in this material world. We may perform so many activities, but all these activities bound us to this material world. The three modes of material nature bind us so strongly that it's very difficult for any one of us to escape. In other words, you can say we are actually in a hopeless state. But in that hope, in that hopeless state, we have hope of Krishna's mercy on us. You know, and that's what here Brahmaji is showing by his example, that how you know, by the mercy of the Lord that he's been in that position, he's offering wonderful prayers here. Krishna's mercy on Brahmaji, how was it? By humbling him. You know, that's the nature of the Lord. The Lord doesn't like his devotees to be proud about the achievements. The Lord always tries to see how his devotees are in a humble state. So Krishna's mercy on Brahma was, you know, the way by which, in this way, that humble Brahmaji was humbled actually. We see also the earlier chapter when Govardhan Leela pastime was also taking place, how Govardhan Paindra was proud in Mayapur again. His Holiness Radha Maharaj was saying that Indra was so proud, he gave an example of a thorn, that all your bodily features may be in a very healthy state, condition, but then if there is a thorn which has pricked your foot, the attention goes to that thorn, not on any other aspects of your body. So similarly, Indra, he was so much used to receiving all this puja, because he is in charge of the rain. But then there's one particular village of Vrindavan who was not offering any prayers and offering anything to him. He became so upset. And then he released the Samvartaka clouds to destroy Vrindavan. And Krishna humbled him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu humbled Krishna, Kesha Kashmiri. So we see that how Krishna actually, his role is to some or the other see that his devotees don't get become proud. That's his nature. And here we see that Brahmaji was humbled completely, and that was his mercy. We'll try to see through this particular verse as to what are the reasons for Brahma to become proud and what can we learn from this. There are six reasons why Brahmaji became proud. Number one is that Brahmaji thought that he is a creator of this universe, and because he is a creator of the universe, he was proud about that. It's natural for a living entity, when somebody does something and he is the first to do that, then that natural that pride will come. We can imagine the Brahma's status, that he was the creator of this universe. He received direct instruction from the Lord within the heart. In fact, he didn't have a father or mother. He just came from the navel. Lotus flower came, and then he was born from the lotus flower, the navel of the Vishnu. So Brahmaji was the first creator. He is the creator of this universe actually. He is the creator. And that actually would make him proud, thinking that no one else is there apart from him who was there first. Like sometimes, you know, as devotees we may become proud also. Like when we were in the yatra, so many people would approach us and say, oh, please tell us, you know, how were the days 20 years back when the temple was small. And then we would take great pride in just explaining to them that, you know, during those times only few devotees would be there, and then we would have such nice association. We would directly speak to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, like that. And we would sometimes, you know, in a very, very, proudly we would just make those statements, little realizing that, you know, we are actually bringing ourselves into a very, very precarious situation. Because by being in that position and trying to explain or trying to narrate to them, we may think that, you know, we are better than others, and that may be the cause of a fall down, you know. And that's what I realized, that it's not that, you know, after speaking then I realized that I am considering myself to be better than them. It's just that I happen to be there at the first instance, that's all, nothing else. But there's so many others who have taken shelter of this movement, who have come afterwards, and they're so serious, and they're so eager to serve, so eager to hear, so eager to, you know, do wonderful activities for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So I was thinking that, you know, sometimes that pride can be there, that you are one of the first, or, you know, one of the chosen, you know, and that can bring about a fall down in your life. So Brahmaji was a creator of this universe. In fact, he thought that, well, nobody is there who is before me. I am the first. So that was one thing. Second reason is that Brahmaji was the most intelligent person. He has four heads. So definitely, you know, intelligence is beyond comparison. He had to have that intelligence, because to create such a universe and maintain, you know, wonderfully, he had to have that intelligence. And because of that intelligence, he was proud about that too. We may have so many qualities. We may have so many, you know, abilities which can make us proud. For Brahmaji, it was his intelligence. But for someone else, it can be something else. Someone may be a good orator, and he may be proud about that. Someone may be a good artist, he may be proud about that artistic abilities. Someone may be able to do wonderful activities, he may be proud about those activities, you know. So anyone can be proud about those activities, those things which he has possessing. So Brahmaji had that intelligence, and he was probably proud about that. He just thought that he is the most intelligent, there is no one. Like sometimes when you go to preach, especially our, you know, preachers, when they go to the colleges, and if you go to the prestigious universities, who are scientists, scholars, they may not accept what you preach, because they think that they know better. They think that they are the most intelligent people. And they may challenge you. Say, how do you know that there is God? Prove that there is God. And they may have unlimited ways of, you know, arguing the fact that, you know, there is no God existing. And what to speak of Brahma, who is the most intelligent of all, and pride definitely can come, right? The third one, Brahmaji has got had become proud because he was, as His Holiness Radha Maharaj would mention, that he was an ivory tower. Many times His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj would tell us, especially the counselors, that don't be on an ivory tower. What do you mean an ivory tower? Means you are in such a high position and such a highly placed that, you know, nobody is there with you. You are aloof from others. That means you are all alone. Brahmaji, under Brahma Loka, and that Brahma Loka is a planet where nobody would even invade. Even the Rakshasas, the demons would not even go there to attack. Brahmaji in his own position, own place. It's the topmost planet in this universe, you can say. And because of that, you know, he hardly has that type of association also. Probably if he had that association, you know, somebody would have told him, you know, Brahma, don't do this particular activity of stealing the cowherd boys and the cows. But because Brahmaji did not have such type of association, he wasn't that particular position where nobody could have instructed him or nobody could have guided him to do that, to the right thing. Many times we may also place ourselves in that situation. We may become proud about our own activities, and then we may think that we are better than somebody else. We may think that we know better than others, our fellow devotees. And then we may distance ourselves from the association of those. And we distance ourselves from the association, then we place ourselves in that precarious situation like ivory tower. And in that situation, we can commit mistakes. And we may not realize what mistakes that we are committing. So, for Brahmaji, that was the position. You know, Brahmaji did not realize that, you know, he is committing something which is quite dangerous. He was actually directly stealing the cowherd boys and the cows, who are nothing but the expansions of the Lord Himself. They are His, you know, the closest ones. And stealing directly the Lord's associates is what Brahmaji did. And there was no one to tell him not to do. Right? So this was another reason why Brahmaji was proud about his own thing, and why he was to be humbled. Then the fifth reason is that Brahmaji did not engage in any direct service to the Lord. It said that, you know, even Yashoda Mata and Nanda Maharaj, though they were very closely associated with the Lord, they would perform services for the Lord's pleasure. But Brahma was one personality who never engaged in some service to the Lord at all. You know? It's just that, you know, he was there. He knew that he has direct connection with the Lord. When some demigods were in danger, then what a demigods would do? Demigods could directly go and approach Brahma. And Brahma would just say, okay, I'll receive the instruction, all of you do this, all of you do that. So Brahmaji was never in any direct service to the Lord, and which is also another lesson for us to learn, that however great you may be, you know, if you are not in some engagement, some service for the Lord's pleasure, or in service of Lord's devotees, then you may be bewildered by some activities. It's very important. That's why we find that in the Navadvip Mahatmya, how Brahmaji became so much, you know, like ashamed of his activity. It is said that at the end of Dwapar Yuga, Brahma actually went to Navadvip to perform austerities over there. He realized that, you know, he actually stole this cowherd boys and cows and he was ashamed. He tried to trick Krishna, but he actually was defeated by his own tricks. And then he started praying that, you know, all these things I did, and it's only because of my folly that I did this job. If only I wish I would have just been some way engaged in some service to the Lord. You are saying that if I was a coward boy, then I would have just served Krishna directly. I would have got Krishna prem and I would have enjoyed the rasa. So thinking like this, he just went to Navadvip and started praying there for the Lord's mercy, for Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mercy over there. And he said, this time I will not be fooled. And after performing austerities, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu came there and he just gave his darshan, he placed his, you know, foot on Brahma's head and Brahma was enlightened. And he prayed to Lord Gauranga that, you know, please give me that mercy. He said, by your instruction, I have been placed, myself, Lord Shiva, we all have been placed in this position as your servants. But then, because of Maya's network, we are put in this illusion, and that has completely, you know, kept us away from your mercy, from receiving your mercy. And he said, for 100 trillion years, I have wasted my life. He says, please give me that opportunity by which I can serve you for the next 100 trillion years. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu tells him that when I come in this Kali Yuga, that time you will be appearing in a Yavana family. And then you will be chanting 100,000 names of the Lord every day, 300,000 names of Lord every day. And thus you will be out of pride and be humble. And then you will be experiencing all the pastimes, you will be seeing all the pastimes which are performed. And he said, after you leave this world, then you will come to Navadvip Dham and then engage in my eternal Leela. And also told him that don't reveal this to others. As Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when I come, I will be tasting the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's complexion and her sentiments. And I will be preaching these glories and Krishna Prem all over the world. So Brahmaji actually, you know, decided to serve in that capacity. He did not want to have that position of being the creator. So he came in Kali Yuga as Haridas Thakur. And then he was only chanting the holy names and he exhibited that quality of humility over there. So that was the thing. And then the last one is that Brahmaji took the Lord for granted. In fact, it is said that because Brahmaji had direct connection with the Lord, sometimes, you know, you may consider the person to be like you or maybe an ordinary person. Brahmaji considered like that. Brahmaji thought that probably, like, you know, he's the same personality which I have been interacting with, and then I don't have to, you know, be very cautious about it. I can just deal with him the way I can. So he took the Lord for granted. That was the biggest mistake that he did. Otherwise, anybody else, if you understand that he is a Lord, would not even behave in that way. But because Brahmaji took the Lord for granted, he thought, I can just, you know, take the liberty of stealing the cowherd boys, I can take the liberty of stealing the cows, I can do any mischief. And then because of that, he had to be bewildered. That was one reason. And I think just a lesson for us to learn that how, that, you know, for Brahmaji it was a Lord whom Brahma took for granted. But for us, it's a devotees whom we cannot take for granted. You know, each and every devotee is precious and their association is precious for all of us. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions once that, you know, you do not know whom you are sitting next to. In a class he was saying that only if you had known who you are sitting next to, then probably you will faint. That's what he was mentioning. So we do not know. Sometimes we may behave with someone thinking that he is a very ordinary person. and we may try to just exercise our influence or probably exploit the person, but we may not realize who that person who is there next to you or whom you are interacting with. So that's why each and every person is worth glorifying, worth appreciating, worth taking association. Especially the ones who are quite engaged in the Lord's service. The senior advanced devotees, the spiritual master, you know. So one cannot take their association cheaply. One cannot take their physical association very cheaply. And you cannot take their association for granted. Prabhupada once mentioned that, you know, sometimes, no, not Prabhupada, once His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj mentions that, you know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would just be with us. You just talk with us, interact with us, you know. But then he said that sometimes we have to be very cautious whom we are dealing with also. He may just like to, he may sit with you, he may talk to you like an ordinary person, and we may think that, oh, he's like me. Sometimes spiritual master may pat on your back, but doesn't mean that we also pat him. Because he patted. We have to understand that etiquette. We have to understand that, you know, whom are we really interacting with, whom are we really dealing with. But then nature of this conditioned mind is that, you know, when somebody comes very close to us and maybe sits and talks, we may think that that person is like me, and then we may take the person for granted. We have to be cautious. That's the reason it's said that when you're associating with your spiritual master, you have to be very, very careful about, you know, how you are taking that association in a very serious manner, not take it very cheaply. It is said that the Vapu association, that is the physical association of the spiritual master, is taken so that we can take care of the Vani very nicely, or we can follow his instructions very nicely. The Vapu is not to enjoy. We are not taking association of a spiritual master or some other Vaishnavas for enjoyment. But the enjoyment is for, so that we can hear from them, and then whatever the instructions are there, we follow that in our own lives. That is what is really important. So when we are actually associating spiritual master, it's actually associating, is associating through his Vani. That is more important than the Vapu. Because when you are close to your spiritual master, it may happen that, you know, we may try to find out some faults, the physical faults, or probably we may just take the person for granted, spiritual master for granted. His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj, in his Krishnamrit, Krishna Kathamrit, Kathamrit Bindu, no? Is it Krishnamrit Bindu? Many years back, he was mentioning one very nice point. He was saying that the spiritual master can never be controlled by his disciple. He can never come under the control of his disciples. If a disciple at any time tries to control his spiritual master, the disciple will get bewildered. He says, never control your spiritual master by your actions. You know, he says, always remember that a spiritual master is under, directly under the subjugation of the Lord. So that is one thing that we should really understand. That's with the spiritual master. But with other devotees also, the same thing. That when we associate with other devotees, you know, we have to always humble ourselves, realizing that, you know, that person is glorious. That person is worth being appreciated, worth taking shelter of. Like many a times, many people in Shida Mayapur, when they were discussing with me, and I would just talk about, I would just tell them, you know, that there are so many devotees who came after me, and that time I would think that, you know, this person is an ordinary person. But then, so many people now doing so many wonderful services that I can never but only just glorify them and glorify their activities. But that gave me one lesson to learn, that, you know, who knows who is going to do what in the future. Somebody may be sitting in front, maybe listening, and think may that maybe I may think that he is a you know, a devotee who has come just few months before. But maybe after 5 years down the line, who knows what that person is up to, doing something, maybe something so great that you can just sit back and just appreciate and glorify that personality. So that's the thing. One has to see that, you know, the devotees are not taken for granted. Here, Brahmaji took the Lord for granted, you know. And that's one thing we have to understand that. So, said that the sixth one, the sixth lesson, as it's mentioned in the purport here, Brahmaji disrespected the supreme status of the personal Godhead, and that's why he was also humbled. Brahmaji disregarded, that's very important to understand, means he might have understood that he is a supreme personality, but at that moment of time he disregarded the supremacy of the supreme personal Godhead. That's why here Brahmaji is offering prayers that no one else, neither I nor anyone else, can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours. And he said, although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. See, Brahmaji realizes that. But at that particular time, Brahmaji actually did not, you know, consider the supremacy of the Supreme Personal Godhead, transcendental feature of the Supreme Personal Godhead. You know? Because the Lord is transcendental by nature, is beyond the three modes of material nature, and because he is beyond the three modes of material nature, his activities are extraordinary, beyond our imaginations. When Brahmaji is saying like this, that, you know, with all this, he is saying, my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, but still I cannot understand your form. So what to speak of us? Maybe we are in a position where we can get bewildered every moment of time. Here Brahmaji is saying that his mind is withdrawn from material affairs, but still he cannot understand the personal form of the Lord. Krishna's nature is transcendental. He can do any extraordinary activities which can bewilder any personality. But what we need to know is that having faith in the words of the scriptures, having faith in the words of our spiritual master, and just having that faith that yes, the Lord can do this. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example of, all of us know that, the Brahmin and the cobbler. That how the Brahmin was very proud of his, you know, material knowledge. And the cobbler was a simple man. And then when he was to go to, he said, I am going to Vaikuntha. Is there any message? The Brahmin said, please ask him when I am coming back. The cobbler said, please tell me what the Lord is doing. So when he went there, he said, the Brahmin was asking when he is coming back. He said it will take millions of lifetimes for him. So Narada Muni was shocked. Said, what about a cobbler? He said, cobbler will come back immediately after he leaves his body. So Narada Muni is more bewildered. He says, how do I understand this? He says, just ask them one, if they ask you one question, just tell them what the Lord was doing. Just tell them that the Lord was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So when he came back, the Brahma said, did you ask when I am going to go back? He said, your Lord said many millions. He says, false. I don't think you have gone to the Vaikuntha Loka to meet the Lord. So he said, okay, if you had gone, just tell me what he was doing. He said, he was threading an elephant through eye of a needle. He says, see, how is it possible that he can thread an elephant through eye of a needle? So then Naraji understood. When he went to the cobbler, said, what was my Lord doing? He says, Lord was, said, you know, and the Lord said that you can go, we'll be going back to him after this, leaving this body. Then the cobbler said, my Lord is so merciful, he can do so many things. You know, what was the Lord doing there? He says, the Lord was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. He says, my Lord is so wonderful. He says, are you convinced about this fact that the Lord is, you know, threading an elephant eye of needle? He says, yes, why not? He says, the banyan tree under whom which I am sitting, this banyan tree has so many fruits with so many seeds in it, and each of the seeds the Lord has invested a huge banyan tree in that. So what is it difficult for the Lord to thread an elephant through eye of a needle? So that's the thing. Now this just for us to understand, but when you hear through the sound vibration from a self-realized soul, from the scriptures, then we accept what the Lord is doing. Lord's activities are extraordinary. Lord can do anything. Angani yasya sakalendra vritti manti. Lord can eat through his eyes. Lord can smell through his eyes. He can do anything to anything. In fact, Vishnu Chakra Thakur is saying that Lord can see through the expansions also. Lord can see through the living entities also. What to speak of only his eyes, but then just. So this is something which one has to understand. So Lord Brahma, in fact, he disregarded the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should have understood that. He interacts on and off with the Lord. He should have known that this is his nature. He should not have tested the Lord. He thought maybe, no, I don't think he's a person whom I'm worshipping. He's just an ordinary person. He just tried to, you know, take on the Lord by just stealing the cowherd boys and the cows, you know. And then what did Krishna do? Krishna just humbled him out. He just, you know, expanded into equal number of cowherd boys and cows. And then performing the pastimes like as would any time do. And Brahmaji was completely bewildered. And he considered himself to be so insignificant. He was giving an example how a glowworm in the night thinks that he is giving light to everyone, but then when the sun comes out, glowworm doesn't have any of his. So Brahmaji felt like that. In front of the Lord, he felt so insignificant. You know, that's how Krishna humbled, actually. And that's also the nature of a pure devotee or a spiritual master. How Krishna humbles his near and dear devotees like Indra and Brahma, the spiritual master also does the same. The nature of spiritual master is see that doesn't get proud. Doesn't become proud of his own achievements. The spiritual master through his sound vibrations instructs his disciples as to what one should do and in what consciousness one should do. Like Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Goswami in his transcendental diary mentions about this particular aspect. Talking about himself only. All of you know this also. That, you know, once Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he just got the painting of Muralidhar Das, Muralidhar Prabhu, you know, which he had made of the Vaikuntha planets. And then Prabhupada was appreciating that. And then he was, you know, discussing the plan, how the Lord creates this universe and how the spiritual planets are. He was explaining to all his disciples. And then he was showing that one corner, he was showing how Mahavishnu is there in one corner of this whole creation. And Mahavishnu from his, you know, pores, millions of universes are coming out. And in each of the universes, you know, he again expands as Gabodakshay Vishnu. And then through him, so many universes come out, so many planets come out. And he says, out of which Earth is one of the planets. And within that planet, you know, there are so many continents. And after this, America is one of the continents. And in America, there are so many states, of which Los Angeles is one of the states. And in Los Angeles, there is this one city, one small city, it's a Sunset Boulevard, you know, this is a city which is named. And in this city, there are so many streets. And this is one of the streets, there is one temple, Hare Krishna temple. And this one of the temple, there is one person sitting there is Tamal Krishna, and he thinks that he is great. You know? So this is what he's trying to mention, that how insignificant we are in comparison to the Lord. And we think ourselves to be great. You know? Sometimes a spiritual master, through his instructions, or directly, sometimes, you know, instructing his disciples, you know, makes us realize, or makes the devotee or the disciple realize his real position. That we can at never time become proud about our own achievements. We have to understand our nature, that we are nothing but humble servants of the servants of the servants. That's how the spiritual master actually does that. You know, that's why it is said that, you know, we always should hear from advanced devotees. Serving the advanced devotees means by hearing. Serving means hearing. That's all, nothing else. The spiritual master is there who is guiding us through his instructions. And our job to serve him in a way is that by hearing what he's speaking and then applying those instructions in our lives. So when we do that, you know, then we realize that, oh yeah, this is my position. I'm supposed to be like this. But I have gone away from that. And that's how the spiritual master gets us back in our original position of being the... That's why it's very necessary for us to hear, you know, hear Srimad Bhagavatam classes every day, to read the scriptures on a regular basis. Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, the disciples or the pure devotees, they come in different ways. They just give their mercy in different ways. Number one is by their instructions to all, maybe non-devotees, devotees. That's what Srila Prabhupada mentions. Number two is that somebody comes closer to them and asks for some questions, more clarification, then he makes them disciples and then gives them specific instructions. He establishes temples by which he engages the disciples in deity worship and then, you know, makes them hear and chant and then Krishna Prasad. So this is the way the devotees engage the living entities. So when we take shelter of such pure devotees and then accept them as our spiritual master and spiritual guide, then we can be put back in our original position or a situation as the humble servants. Otherwise, we can sometimes become little, we may go away from our original position as the humble servants and we can become proud. That's the reason the association also is very important. Association Vaishnavas is very, very important. Because in that association, you know, we can never be proud. Because the devotees know how to humble you. Only thing is that we have to have that consciousness to, you know, accept that position, accept that situation in our lives. You know? And the prayers of the Vaishnavas, those are also very, very important. Always, when we serve the Vaishnavas, Holiness Radhanath Maharaj would always say that, when do you receive blessings? When we serve Vaishnavas in a way we please them, then we automatically receive the blessings from them. If we try to enjoy, he says, you'll be suffering, you'll be miserable. But then if we serve, then you'll have transcendental happiness. You'll get happiness. You know, when you serve in the way by which you can please the person, then you get unlimited blessings. So we are in this hopeless situation, as I mentioned earlier. All of us are in the hopeless situation. We are only hoping for the mercy and the prayers of the devotees. As once, I just like to end with this. Once one of our devotees approached spiritual master and said, you know, Gurudev, I have lost all hope on this devotee. I am not able to make him take shelter. So the spiritual master, he told his disciple that don't lose hope. Pray for the person. When the devotee heard like that, then the devotee really understood. He says, what am I doing? He says, I am saying I am lost hope on this. And my spiritual master is saying that, please pray for that person. He says that, you know, similarly, I started wondering that supposing if the Supreme Lord would have lost hope on us, what would be your position? Because lifetimes we are committing the same mistake again and again. If the Supreme Lord says that I lost complete hope on you, and if the Supreme Lord rejects us, then what is our hope then? But because the Supreme Lord wants us, his mercy is on us, the spiritual master, the priests, acharyas, they are all praying for us. That's why we are somehow the surviving. So it's a hopeless situation, but we have some hope because somebody is praying for us. If it is not for their prayers, probably we would not. That's why his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, always right. You are ever well-wisher. No, because Srila Prabhupada is there, Srila Prabhupada's mercy is there on us, we are still surviving, we are still, you know, continuing on with our services. If we leave the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, probably we would be nowhere. then we will be just on our own, probably suffering the threefold miseries of this material existence and go back. So we don't want that to happen. And we don't want to be in the situation which Brahmaji is. So we can just meditate on those particular aspects and realize that, you know, we may not be in the position of Brahma, but then in a very, very small way we can be in that position and we can become proud. And that's why we need the constant prayers of the Vaishnavas and the prayers of our fellow God brothers, God sisters, and you know, accept their mercy in whatever way it comes. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.